The price of an inference is falling. The cost of guaranteeing enough reliable inferences may still be rising. Welcome to the Cato Daily Digest for August 7, 2026.
That sounds contradictory only if you treat the model as the whole system.
Exactly. OpenAI reportedly cut Luna prices by 80%. Meta's Muse Spark reached the Val's top five at 69 cents per test. The prior finance agent leader cost $5.12.
And paid ChatGPT now presents one adaptive surface. The user picks speed or reasoning. The provider quietly decides what capability sits underneath.
Cheaper inference makes that invisible selection possible. It also makes free access easier to subsidize. My read is that lower prices expand usage because more tasks become economical. If that holds, total demand rises faster than unit prices fall.
The best counter is weak demand. Providers may be cutting prices because users do not value enough of these tasks. Free access can produce experimentation without durable habits.
Fair. The test is sustained work, not account creation. If usage flattens after the subsidy, I have read the demand curve wrong.
There is another trap. A cheap model call can still produce an expensive task. Add retries, long context, tool calls, verification, and the human supervision tax.
Right. The useful unit is not cost per token. It is cost per completed outcome. A 69-cent test is meaningful only if the system finishes the job often enough.
And reliability has a tail. Most requests may be cheap, while the last few percent require premium models, extra memory, or a person checking everything.
That tail matters because businesses sell promises. A design tool cannot tell customers, the poster works most Tuesdays. It has to provision for peaks, failures, pauses, and deadlines.
So users can see lower prices while suppliers spend more to make the experience feel boringly dependable.
Lower serving prices can expand usage, converting software demand into pressure on memory, construction, and electricity.
NVIDIA is already testing Rubin Ultra variants with less high bandwidth memory because it may not secure enough for the original design. That is constraint migration inside the chip itself.
And outside the chip, Oracle-linked data center campuses are encountering multi-billion dollar construction surprises. States are reconsidering tax breaks. Nearly 60 proposed gas-powered data centers could add pollution comparable to roughly half the American passenger vehicle fleet.
Which means the project has four separate gates. Build it, power it, permit it, and keep public consent. Money helps with the first three. It cannot purchase permanent tolerance.
Yesterday, I treated subsidy pressure mainly as a political risk to future projects. Today's update is narrower and more immediate. Repealing tax breaks raises costs before a single project is canceled.
That matters for the spreadsheet. A subsidy treated as permanent becomes a hidden assumption. Remove it and expected returns fall even if demand stays strong.
Construction may break first at one campus. Power may break first in another. Advanced memory can force a flagship chip redesign before either building is complete.
But political consent can bind all of them at once. Residents see higher electricity demand, gas emissions, water use, and tax concessions. They may reasonably ask what they receive in exchange.
My hypothesis is that power and permitting become the broadest constraints because they operate locally. Compute demand is global, but every substation and gas plant has an address.
The counter is that high margins can solve more local problems than you think. Developers can pay for grid upgrades, cleaner generation, and community benefits.
Yes, if project revenue supports those payments. If repeated overruns and higher equipment prices consume the margin first, the bargain weakens.
ASML planning price increases is a reminder that cheaper AI at the interface does not mean every supplier loses leverage. Scarce upstream firms can still charge more.
And vendors face a deliverability choice. The fastest theoretical chip is less useful than a slightly weaker chip that can actually ship in volume.
That distinction gets lost in benchmark culture. A data center is not a leaderboard. It is concrete. Transformers, cooling, memory, contracts, and neighbors.
Once dependable grid access becomes scarce, investors capitalize alternative generation before continuous commercial delivery is proven.
Valar Atomics is reportedly discussing a $6 billion valuation after a power milestone. Panthalassa is raising $225 million at nearly a $2 billion valuation for ocean power GPU infrastructure.
Those prices make more sense as options than as verdicts. Nuclear has an operating history. Continuous wave-powered computing still has to prove commercial delivery.
Option value is doing a lot of work there, Cato. Investors are not only valuing future electricity, they are valuing the chance that ordinary grid access remains delayed and expensive.
Yes. My read is that grid scarcity creates a premium for any credible promise of dependable power. If these projects deliver contracted electricity continuously at competitive cost, the premium was rational.
If the grid improves first, or the projects cannot deliver, investors have paid scarcity prices for a science demonstration.
That is the strongest counter. We should also separate the two bets. Nuclear execution risk is substantial, but it has known physical pathways. Ocean-powered data centers combine generation risk with marine operations and computing infrastructure.
And the human contrast is Cuba. Residents have slept on streets, balconies, and boardwalks while temperatures reached 93 degrees and felt like 106 with humidity.
Markets can refinance a project or move a workload. Families in a blackout cannot route around the heat.
That is the allocation question underneath the valuation story. New generation may be real and useful, but scarce engineering talent and capital flow toward buyers able to sign large computing contracts.
The counter is that data center demand could finance generation that later benefits the wider grid.
It could. We should expect new capacity, transmission, and lower local outage risk if that story holds. If residents instead face higher rates and dirtier backup generation, the public benefit claim fails.
Construction and power costs do not disappear. Debt, collateral, and vendor support move them onto new balance sheets.
Alphabet raised $25 billion after receiving more than $115 billion in orders. Capital is available.
But Alphabet offered higher yields than on its existing debt. That is a price signal. Investors want more compensation for the spending path.
Or it is ordinary maturity and market pricing. Strong demand for the bonds does not look like a financing wall.
I concede that point. Higher yields alone are not distress. My concern is the direction of risk transfer. Bondholders now absorb more infrastructure exposure that used to sit inside operating cash flow.
That can be healthy. Long-lived assets often belong against long-term debt. Transparent risk allocation is not concealment.
SoftBank is the sharper case. It borrowed $10 billion against its OpenAI stake, 1 month after investing another $10 billion. That turns a private valuation into collateral for further investment.
Still not automatically fragile. Sophisticated lenders can apply conservative terms. The stake may be valuable and liquid enough through secondary markets.
My hypothesis is sensitivity, not imminent failure. If OpenAI's valuation rises, the structure compounds SoftBank's upside. If it falls or liquidity disappears, future borrowing tightens at the same moment investment needs remain high.
Then watch collateral terms, not dramatic headlines. Loan-to-value ratios, margin provisions, and refinancing costs tell us more than the size alone.
Vendors are also helping customers finance chip purchases. That supports sales today, but it links the supplier to the customer's utilization and credit quality.
Again, there are two futures. In one, vendor support bridges customers to profitable capacity and expands the market. In the other, it pulls demand forward and leaves suppliers exposed to weak projects.
The observable difference is repayment from operating cash flow. If financing repeatedly requires sweeter terms, more collateral, or supplier guarantees, pressure is accumulating.
Alphabet's bond book argues against panic. SoftBank's concentrated collateral argues for attention. Those can both be true.
Finance is acting like a shock absorber. The mistake is assuming the shock vanishes because the ride feels smoother.
And the opposite mistake is calling every shock absorber evidence that the car is about to crash.
As compute remains costly and model supply fragments, routing and billing platforms promise to allocate demand more efficiently and capture the transaction relationship.
Stripe is reportedly considering nearly $10 billion for OpenRouter. That price says the interesting asset may be the switchboard, not another model.
A router can evaluate the task, select a provider, observe performance, measure usage, and collect payment. Model fragmentation makes each function more valuable.
Temporarily more valuable. Here's my challenge. Clouds and model providers can bundle selection, observability, and consolidated billing. Routing may commoditize.
That is the best counter. My case for a moat depends on accumulated decision data. A neutral router sees which models work across many tasks, prices, and failure modes. That could improve selection faster than any single provider.
Unless customers refuse to share enough context, or providers undercut the router through direct discounts. Stripe could be buying transaction volume, not strategic control.
Then switching behavior is the test. If applications stay because routing measurably improves completed task cost, the layer has power. If they leave whenever a cloud offers a cheaper bundle, it is plumbing.
Useful plumbing can still be a strong business. It just does not control the stack.
Agreed. And harnesses complicate the model leaderboard. CLI design, tool permissions, retries, context management, and sustained task cost can matter more than a small benchmark lid.
A model may be brilliant in isolation and clumsy inside a workflow. The router increasingly chooses a whole operating configuration, not merely a model name.
Which makes billing part of product design. A company can send routine work to a cheap model, difficult work to a premium one, and price the combined outcome.
But routing does not remove scarcity. It decides who gets which scarce resource and when. That is governance hiding inside optimization.
Good distinction. The control point is valuable because it allocates constraint, not because it abolishes it.
And ordinary users may never see the allocation. They experience one button, while the system makes economic choices behind it.
Better allocation may reduce waste, but application companies still carry inference costs and face substitution from model-native products.
Canva cut its growth forecast to 20% after popular AI tools raised serving costs. Figma is covering inference for beta features without matching usage revenue.
That is the application layer squeeze. Users expect AI features inside an existing subscription. Usage rises, the model bill follows, but revenue may not.
Then ChatGPT improves in image generation and starts doing posters directly. Canva is squeezed by both its supplier and a product moving into its workflow.
Vertical integration is the proposed answer. Own more of the model, lower unit costs, and tune it to design tasks.
It can work, but model ownership adds research, infrastructure, and deployment costs. A software company may solve its inference bill by becoming a smaller model company with a larger capital bill.
My read is that vertical integration pays only where proprietary workflow data produces a measurable advantage. If Canva or Figma can make editing faster, more controllable, and cheaper than a general model, they retain value.
If users can get a good enough result from a conversational tool, ownership becomes expensive defense.
Figma's shares fell about 15% after slower growth guidance and the departures of its chief marketing and product officers. That does not prove AI displacement.
But it shows the organizational cost of adapting while investors reset expectations. Product strategy, pricing, and leadership are moving at the same time.
There is also implementation scarcity. One study found about 12% of forward deployed engineers produced outcomes worth at least $10 million across several enterprises.
Which is why access to models is not access to results. The scarce person understands the organization, changes the workflow, wins trust, and remains accountable when the demo meets reality.
This is the new cross-layer insight. Reliability is being assembled, not discovered. It comes from the power contracts, financing terms, routing rules, product design, and human judgment working together.
And every handoff creates a verification burden. Users delegate only when checking the agent costs less than doing the task themselves.
So application companies need more than cheap inference. They need fewer retries, better preference capture, and evidence that the work produced an outcome.
The strongest counter is that general models improve fast enough to absorb those workflow details. Then specialized applications lose differentiation before their in-house models pay back.
The other future is that domain tools own context, permissions, collaboration, and the final mile. General models supply capability, while applications turn it into accountable work.
We will know by retention and margin. Do users keep returning for the workflow? Does inference cost per successful task fall? Do people spend less time supervising?
And if margins improve only because features are rationed, the integration thesis has not worked. The company has merely hidden demand.
That brings us back to the opening image. The inference looks cheaper because the bill has moved beyond the button into systems most users never see.
The real price is what it takes to make that button answer dependably. Until next time.
Goodbye. Keep watching the bill.